This whole Eden Harvest thing is crazy.
The whiteys are really out here showing their true colour today, aren't they?
This is all getting out of hand.
All of a sudden, white people saying it's okay to say this word if it's
you cannot song. Say the N-word by mistake.
Went live on TikTok and lip-synced the N-word.
Racist. I don't know if this can be my job anymore.
She's letting her viewers stand by her and think it's okay. Educate your viewers.
Call me out. Go in at me.
No apology will ever be good enough. People will see a young black boy in a night tracksuit with his face covered and crossed.
Do you not think you'd cross the road if they were white dressed like that?
No.
Do you sing it?
I've never said it.
Do you think the word should be gone?
I could never come close to the pain they would have been going through. Imagine it was like your sister or your mum or your dad, and they're just taking them away. You've no idea what's happened to them. You'll never see them again.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Outspoken with Eden Halves, where there are no holes barred. You can find this podcast every Friday at 7 p.m. on YouTube, Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
So let's get straight into it. So today I am joined by the wonderful Jaya.
Thank you.
How would we even get into this? Let me try and you can call me. I've said to her, honestly, call me out, go in at me. I want to take this podcast to really learn and for all of us to have that kind of understanding, and hopefully we do. So 2 weeks ago, I was on live stream doing my makeup as I do, and I have done for years. And I was showing off that I know Nicki Minaj's raps off by heart, and Monster by Kanye West came on. And this hasn't never happened for years, but I did mime a racial slur in the song. And my first coping mechanism is defense. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I know it's wrong. It's a mistake. Like, of course. But as it goes on, we've learned that I'm not educated, and mainly neither are the followers in this situation, because the way I thought about it was when that happened, I was like, oh, that's wrong. Obviously it's wrong. And I've just grown up thinking I know that word is wrong.
Wrong, yeah.
But truthfully, I don't necessarily know truthfully why or how it really affects people. And the issue we had was people commenting saying, oh, it's just a song. Oh, we all do it. Mm-hmm. We don't, and we really shouldn't. So Jaya, give us your perspective on the situation and how it affected you.
So I saw the video scrolling through my feed page. For some reason, I've been getting a lot of TikTok drama recently, which I'm not liking. Like, not interested, please. But I went straight to your page and saw the video you made in return. Mm. And something didn't sit right with me with the video. Mm-hmm. And it was more so the commenters. Mm-hmm. I will always, even in the video, a lot of people took what I said as hate towards you straight away. Mm-hmm. I know you have very, very loyal fans, and they'll sit there and say, like, oh, you're hating on Eden.
Yeah.
When I wasn't.
Yeah.
I was simply saying that fans need to be educated. And I made the video thinking it was going to get, like, what, 1,000 views? Mm-hmm. And then it got 600,000, and it was just mental and crazy. Like, many times I was like, I want to take it down because I don't want ever it to come across as hate. But then also I did want to kind of, like, speak about how the video was, like, formulated.
And hold me accountable.
Yeah. And it was more so, like, when we've seen so many influencers and YouTubers and TikTokers across the whole world make that mistake. Mm-hmm. And I feel like no apology will ever be good enough.
No, it won't.
For anyone.
Because as a white person sat here, I am quite ignorant to the sense I know it's wrong, but I will never, ever know how it affects someone. I will never feel it.
No. That's the thing. Like, I will happily accept an apology if you are taking accountability. And that's why I 100% still stand by your second apology, where you said my white followers who I love and adore don't defend me because it's not your place. That's what I loved about it. The first video, I feel like everything got to you way too much, and
it was all within the same night. So I filmed that at 2 a.m in the morning, and I was just like, truthfully, I was like I just want it to go away. Like, I can't believe that has even happened. Like, that's something I knew in my career, well, I thought I knew, that would never happen, ever. And I think, like, it sounds bad, but it's kind of like a blessing in disguise that it did happen, because now knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have that knowledge. I just know you don't sing it and you don't say it.
Yeah.
And I, because it was a bad word in history. That's how me and I feel like a lot of people mm-hmm. were raised to. So if we just rewind, Jay is talking about the video, because with this happening of the miming of the racial slur, a lot of backlash came with it. A lot of different people giving different opinions, white people doing videos on how it's just a song and it's okay because they have a black, they know someone black in their lives.
That comment is way too old now.
But can you explain that to me? Because the reason we say that is because, well, if we have black people around us, like I had a black partner for ages and all of this, I've always thought, if I have black people around me, I'm not racist.
Yeah.
I love, like, everyone around me is black.
Yeah.
Whereas I've never, so like, but obviously there is that no education, because although I may have loved someone black, I don't know what he's been through. I don't know what he goes through.
See, this is what I was like saying earlier, that no one is anti-racist. Yeah. No one will ever be anti-racist. If you say you are, good for you, well done.
Yeah.
But I don't personally believe anyone will be anti-racist in their life.
So you're either racist or anti-racist.
Yeah, but I think everyone in the world is racist personally. Mm-hmm. We all have done things once in our life that has been condoned as racism.
Mm-hmm.
We have all done it once in our life. For example, as I was saying to you earlier, multiple people will see a young black boy in a Nike tracksuit with his face covered and cross the road because everyone has put that expectation and stereotype on black young men that they are violent, that they are vicious, and everyone follows that. Mm-hmm. Even black people follow that. So many people will use the kind of ideology of, if you saw a black man in a suit in a briefcase and it looks like he's just come from work and he's about to get in a Porsche, would you cross the road? No. If you saw a young black boy on a bike and he's in a Nike tech fleece, face covered, like, you just wouldn't, you would cross the road.
But do you not think you'd cross the road if they were white dressed like that as well?
No.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I personally wouldn't. Many others probably will. As I said to you earlier, like, I have people in my family, bear in mind, like, I am black from my dad's side but white from my mum's side.
So where is your dad from?
Jamaica.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm half Jamaican, half British.
Mm-hmm.
And best on my mum's side is very I'm not gonna say racist, but they're very, that my older generations are extremely ignorant. Mm-hmm. Very, very ignorant.
I think loads of the older generation are
very, very of my older generation ignorant. And I will still sit here and say that my mum has, I don't think, ever been with a white man in her life.
Mm-hmm.
In her whole entire life. She had my brother when she was 18, that was with a black man. Like, I've never seen her with a white man in my life. She's been with my stepdad for 5 years, black man. But I will not sit here and say she's anti-racist. She's not.
Mm-hmm.
She says things where I'm like, mum, you can't say that. Whether it's about Chinese, Indian, or black people.
Mm.
I will say, mum, you physically can't say that. Until I was about 13, she didn't even know about the history of the N-word.
Really?
Well, she knew the history, but she didn't know the power it held behind it by saying it now. She doesn't say it anymore, but it's more so of like, I still have to educate people to this day. Because people don't know the effect it does have on some people.
Explain it to us. Have you ever, like, experienced...
Yeah, so one big experience for me was I was 18 and I decided to move into a rented flat with my friend. And it was in a very rough area in Nottingham. And it was a cheap, rough area. We thought it would be fine, but we actually ended up being below a set of drug dealers. So it wasn't very hand in hand. We was just some 18 young girls, just me and my friend. One night I came home from work, because I used to work in a bar, 1 o'clock in the morning, they were throwing a party. I was like, I need to go to bed. So they're all out on the street right outside my house and my window's open and I'm calling the police, like, and stupidly next to an open window with all these white drug dealers around. They heard it. Police wasn't going to come until they heard the knocking on the door and them trying to break into my house.
Mm.
And literally, me and my friend was petrified. And that is when they started yelling at the windows. They started calling me a monkey, the N-word. The next time they see me, they're going to kill me. I've experienced... That was my worst ever time experiencing it. Very much. I think another times, loads of times, is obviously working in Wetherspoons for 3 to 4 years. It's a very white pub. like a lot of white old men come into there, and they are very, very ignorant. A lot of them do say the N-word willingly, and I'm just sat there like, why? What's the point? Why can't the word be missed? And why can't we educate ourselves on the history? And with the whole comment of, well, if it's in a song, it deserves to be sung, what a lot of people are saying online right now. It's not about the artist wrote the song to be sung. Yes, we all know the artist wrote the song to be sung. If the artist wrote the song, he wants it to blow up. He wants people to sing it. How or she. However, multiple artists will sit there and say, listen, Kendrick Lamar stopped his concert when he saw the white woman people. Came on stage. It's one of them where, yes, black people make the songs for everyone. But if the word is in it, they have multiple times said that that is for the black community. Just skip it over. A lot of people will say fellas or something else and replace it. It's as simple as that. So back to the point of, like, if you are singing it and if you do think it's fine, it's not. It's simply not. And the black community don't accept it. So many black artists don't accept it. It's just as simple as that. And it's not that we should have a problem with Kanye. A lot of people are like, oh, well, tell the artist then. Tell the artist not to put it in the song.
Yeah, there's been so many comments, hasn't there?
But yeah, tell the artist not to put it in the song.
Oh, well, it shouldn't be in the song then.
My only advice is just give Kanye West a call then. I can't speak on behalf of, like, these artists.
So what would happen if Kanye West came out from this situation and was like, oh, doesn't bother me at all?
Kanye West is mental, so I wouldn't be surprised. My boyfriend's going to kill me for saying that because he loves him.
No, but this is what I mean. Like, what would the whole narrative change? Would that make it? Because culture is changing all the time.
And personally, I think it depends. It depends, like, how people will take that. Personally, I still would be like, why do we have to condone the word full stop?
Do you sing it?
Nope. No. I've never said it.
So this is what I'm saying. A lot of black people I know, they don't even sing it.
I don't even say it.
So do you think the word should be, like, gone?
I'm one for saying that. I will never say the word. Mm. I can't, like, I have mimed it in a song on TikTok once.
Me too.
And I got cancelled as well, if that makes you feel better.
Did you?
Yeah, people thought I was white. So if that makes you feel better, I got cancelled.
Yeah, well.
But I've mimed it once, and then I've never sung it in a, like, mimed it since. I've never sung it in a song in public for some reason. I don't know why. It just doesn't sit right with me. I don't know why.
It's very uncomfortable.
There was one girl on TikTok who did that. I don't know if you saw her, but I'm not going to out her because that's not fair. But
no, tell me the name. Just beep it out, Ellis.
I can't even remember her. She did it in defense for you. Yeah,
wait,
she was singing a song. I can't remember what song it is, but it had the N-word repeatedly in it. And she was like, see, it's not a big deal, and was singing along with the song and was openly saying the N-word. And I was like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing.
Was she white?
Yeah. I was like, this is so embarrassing. But a lot...
In my defense.
Yeah. And people was like, it's just a word. And I was like, oh God. But then this is what I was trying to comment on people's videos. Like, you said then, at this point, this was when you said, like, if you're white, don't defend me. Just be quiet, basically. Like, let the black community accept my apology or not accept my apology. It's their decision. Like, I accepted your second apology. Mm-hmm. Your first one, I didn't. Your second one, I did.
Why didn't you accept the first one?
It was more so, I think, a lot of people were a bit upset with how it was worded.
Mm-hmm.
I will sit here and say it did come across as a bit like a self-pity.
Victim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did come across as that way. And it was more so for me, I will always say it was more so the comments, but also the fact of when you said, like, you don't want to do the job anymore, which is completely understandable. Yeah. We've sat there.
But in that video, like, everyone's saying, oh, she says she doesn't want to do the job anymore. I didn't say in it.
I'm going to be completely honest. The comments of people saying, like, there's B&M Christmas temp jobs up was so fucking funny.
I was laughing so much. Someone said, oh, Home Bargains is hiring. I was like, oh my God.
I applied. So guys, can I just quickly say, like, I applied for B&M the other day because I'm jobless and they didn't accept me. So it's not that easy, actually.
Why didn't they accept it?
B&M never accept people, so it's not that easy, actually. So people That's who are telling horrible. You to get a Christmas temp job, it's not easy.
Well, no, they probably think quite highly of me if they think I can get that job. But this is what I mean, that video, people are like, oh, it's all self-pity and self... Like, at the end of the day, that is my platform to express how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, truthfully, in my life, like, I love posting videos and I love making content, but job wise
it's difficult.
I don't truthfully, what I said in that video, I don't think I can do that.
I think what would have been, if we could turn back time now,
yeah, if we could reverse to the very beginning of that happening
and not say it.
Yeah,
if and we not could mime.
Just not put that song on. Where would we be?
No, I think if what you could have done, swap the first and second apology round. Mm-hmm. The second apology first, mm-hmm. and the first apology second. So much better.
But Jaya, I didn't know that this many white people just sing it. I thought it's a known thing. Mm. And this is what I was saying to my sister Freya. It's racism. That I just think, or maybe it's my white privilege, me just thinking, oh, everyone knows not to sing.
Everyone,
you know what I mean?
This is what I'm saying, like, everyone is racist in the world. Everyone's somewhat racist. Everyone thinks something towards this race, thinks something towards that race. Mm. Like, we all have our stereotypes of certain races. Like, we all sit there and say that, like, as I was saying to you earlier, it's all about educating people on what you think, especially if you are so, like, strong on your viewpoint. Mm. As I was saying earlier, like, when I met my boyfriend, he was so uneducated. I'm so sorry, Reese, but I have to out you. He doesn't care, hopefully. He was so uneducated. Mm. And that was mainly from, like,
can you give me an example of, like,
he was happily able to say the N-word around me, and the first time I got in his car and he said it, I went, like, what are you doing? And that was because of mainly, like, his past relationship was with a white woman, and they were, like, both so ignorant when they were young. They were together quite a while when they were young. And also, he did come from an upper class family who aren't very educated or white family. They don't have black people around them. So, like, it was more so I had to sit there and say, like, don't say that around me. And he didn't really understand. And there's been many occasions where I won't say the rest because it goes a bit deeper and I don't want to expose him too much. But he will never be anti-racist because he has forever had that ideology of black people, of what he has put down onto me. But ever since being with me and the year we've been together now, he is so educated upon the topic and I'm so proud of him. But it's all about listening to the community.
It is, yeah.
It's about listening to
Because
me.
What I was saying to Jaya is, like, when this all happened and people were like, you need to be educated, you need to do this, the backlash was so intense. I was in fight or flight constantly, posting a video, that's the wrong thing, delete that, post this, that's the wrong thing, like, and then me posting something and go, oh yeah, that can't be taken the wrong way, and then it is, and then, like, people saying you need to educate yourself, I took that as an insult, because as I was saying, like, when you are brought up around black people, you never think in your mind, race it, like, oh, maybe, like, I'm... my white privilege is talking right now, or you just think, oh yeah, I love these people.
Like, going back to the comment that we made earlier of, like, when people were going, it's fine, I can say this because I have a black sister or a mixed race sister or a Jamaican sister or a Jamaican brother or blah blah, or a fucking black dog at this point. Like, it's I think the comment is so pointless now. So pointless. Like, never once has my boyfriend gone, it's okay, I can say the N-word because I have a black girlfriend.
Yeah.
Or a mixed race girlfriend. Yeah. Never once has my best friend gone, it's okay, I can say the N-word because I have a mixed race best friend. It's not right. You don't get a pass. The N-word pass is so outdated and so 100 years ago. Like, we don't, the N-word pass isn't a thing anymore. So if you are sitting there and saying, oh, it's okay, I'm not racist because I have a black sister or I've got a stepdad who's black, it doesn't really matter because you will never be, you'll never take a step in them shoes ever. And you won't ever know how they are. So you will always have the stereotypes about them. And if you do sing or say, or if you greet your friend and say it and you are white, then realistically you are racist, because just skip out the word, it's one word in your vocab, just skip it out. I'm sure you don't say many more, like, come on.
And that's the thing, like, it's not an attack either, which is what I'm learning. It's genuine want to educate. I'm not gonna lie, and whilst this has been going on, a lot of black women have said the most horrific things to me, but this it's obviously pain manifesting as, like, these sorts of things. But when someone's saying to you, you're racist for thinking that, it's not an insult, it's like, you need to learn, you need to grow and educate yourself. They're not saying, like, you're a bad person, it's like, what you've done is racist and you should educate yourself on that. So I took it as an attack. I was like, how can these people be saying this to me and all of this, like, yeah, kind of being a bit of a victim, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd like, it was more so the only thing that you, obviously the N-word thing, but the only thing that you said that upset me personally,
yeah,
in the first apology, it wasn't about like the victim blaming or anything like that. It's just the one thing, but now I've got to know you deeper, I know your side. It was the one thing of you saying, I don't want to do this job anymore.
Yeah.
And at first people are going to be like, well, that is so entitled for her to, yeah, say. Because me sat there watching that video, just lost my job, eyeballs up, yeah, in debt. I was like, wow,
it's an out of touch.
I wish I could say that and, yeah, like be able to jump into another job. Like I'm sat here like struggling to find another job and I'm struggling with life, I'm struggling with like to pay things off, and like I want to go out for dinner with my boyfriend but he's paid for the last 8 meals, I can't pay for this one. Mm-hmm. It's one of them where like I really wish.
See, this is what I mean, I never think of things like that.
Yeah, ever. But then when we've sat down and I've listened, this is the thing that I like so encourage everyone who is watching this to do. And I will encourage people to do it. Like I was so judgmental of influencers before I've had this conversation, mm, with you. That
what was your judgment? Like what?
On influencers, like when, have you seen the Michaela Najerio?
Careful. I'm not trying to fucking say it, Jaya. Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. I don't know how to say her name.
I'm not saying it. But I do know how to say it.
Someone's going to like AI your, yeah, voice, yeah, into saying it.
I'm not saying it, but I know. Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, that's that girl. Yeah. You know how she was like, try being an influencer for a day. I've just got off work and it's 5:19. I was like, that was one thing where I was like, are you fucking joking me? Mm. Like I was working at Wetherspoons at the time when that came out. And I was like, I've just got to work and I've been here since 12 and I'm leaving at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
Like 12 p.m. to 1 a.m. Like most days I was doing mega overtime at Wetherspoons and I'm sat there like, what the fuck?
So what, you see those things and you think like, oh, I'm like, try
working in Wetherspoons for a day.
Yeah.
Like give it a try. But then when I've sat down and had like this conversation with you, I could never, ever, ever be an influencer. I knew that beforehand, but I would always say that more so because like I won't ever say the right things and I would get cancelled in a heartbeat.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I'll get cancelled. There's some people on the internet where I'm like, how have you not been cancelled yet?
So if you could say anything to the people watching right now who believe it's okay to sing it and they're going to try and brush it off again and be like, oh, all of this, like, let's just say, I know you're doing it from a place of loyalty and to try and defend me, mm-hmm, but this is the last time I'll say it. If, as a white person, you can't play with that word. You can't decide if it's okay. It's not our word. And it's put in songs, from my research, as a kind of a liberation. Because
it's,
it was
for power. Yeah. Yeah, it was once taken from us by the white man who had used it to degrade us in a sense, and we've taken it back now for power, mm-hmm, and to like show it's not, we don't, I tend to find that we don't use it in a way to talk about how it was used to talk about by the white man.
Mm. Talk about how it was used by the white man. Because sometimes you have to be really uncomfortable to get through.
Yeah, see, this is the thing, like,
from what I was reading,
mm-hmm,
there's a memorial kind of thing at the Bank of England Museum at, mm-hmm, the moment, because back in the 18th century, correct me if I'm wrong,
mm-hmm,
loans...
I have to work that out sometimes.
Yeah, I have no idea. Loans that we kind of like borrow from a bank,
mm-hmm,
the way that it would work in that kind of century is I'll swap you a black slave pay off your debt, or I'll give you a black slave, clear my debt, as if it was just like a transactional kind of thing. If you were in my shoes, where would you go from now?
I think you've made some really, really good steps to a better place and to be educated more.
So would you be able to give us a kind of insight into work you've done or campaigns you've been on for racism?
The first one was related to the murder of George Floyd,
mm-hmm,
in 2020.
Yeah.
Around June time. It was, yeah, very, very tough. Obviously compounded by the fact that everyone was isolated.
Yeah.
At the time, I felt like I needed to do something, and I think a lot of people felt, mm, the same.
Mm.
We've got not as much to do, a lot of people, so we need to act now,
mm-hmm,
because this is going to matter.
Yeah.
And it obviously did. I think it was the biggest anti-racism protests since the abolition of the slave trade.
Yeah, I feel like that was such... That happening to George Floyd, it was such a catalyst for such so many movements, which is an amazing thing. I myself, I remember, like, I don't know if it helped at all, but I would do, like, I would go live for the exact amount of time he was held down and couldn't breathe, and any gifts or anything that was sent straight to charities. And I just remember going on with tape on my mouth and it just said, I can't breathe, because that was like, so what did you do during, like, what was entailed in it?
The first thing was just going along. I struggled, actually, the night before I went, my friend committed suicide, so it was a tough period anyway, but we went anyway. Luckily, my housemates wanted to go with me, because obviously it was tough, right? Because it was in the middle of COVID, and there was a lot of media coverage at the time saying no one should go, as is generally the case. People tried to dissuade people from going to protests. That's fairly standard. What I found when I went there is, even though I was hurting a lot, it was nice to be surrounded by so many people who very clearly felt the same that I did.
How were you feeling?
Extremely sad, more than anything. And as I went to another protest, I think it was the week after, maybe even the day after, started to become more angry, I think, because the more you hear from people, the more it brings back your own memories as well. And ultimately, you probably haven't acted on things in the past. You've taken things without really realizing what is the context of them. And then it sits there. And as you start to learn more about those experiences over time, then you start to feel more, it's almost angry at yourself for not having acted or not having spoken up or not having done whatever at the time. It was still very good to start going and start to become associated with some of the groups that were there at the time. I think some groups have mentioned that did an amazing job at organizing the protest. All Black Lives UK at the time, or in the principle there is, it's not just about Black men being in the protests or Black women or Black trans women. It's about everyone. And that's what I associated with. I grew up in Brighton, so that resonated quite strongly with me. And I think talks to what you were saying about it combining as many different movements as possible.
I think that when that happened, that kind of like opened us all up to education, didn't it? But obviously, this guest doesn't use TikTok, really, do you? So
I got it yesterday, and I now have zero on both. I'll probably keep it that way, to be honest with you. That's so safe to say.
You downloaded TikTok because I came to you when this all went on, and you yourself said you did some research on TikTok yesterday. What did you come across? Obviously, the incident.
Yes. So yeah, I'm not that old, but yeah, still had to grapple with the interface a little bit. But yeah, what I saw was the slowed down recording of what had happened. I saw, and there were quite literally countless other videos, so it was very difficult to try and pick what to watch. I'm sure as you're on the platform more, you get to figure out what to click on and what not to click on. So what I saw was you were singing along to a Kanye West song, and then you were singing, but then you mouthed the N-word. And then it kind of cut forward, and I think you were like, you didn't realize. And then people started to comment on what had happened. So this is what I've seen as I said, I haven't watched many videos.
Nothing like that has ever happened since joining social media, and the pain I felt in my heart when that happened. And in my heart, that's not me as a person. And I knew immediately that was so wrong, but it opened up so many white people who have no idea that it's not just a song, and that word is not just a word. And people are saying, oh, well, if it's written in songs, then the artist shouldn't put it in the song. But what would you kind of say about that?
Well, the first thing, it's the artist that are using these words are black, first of all. So they have reclaimed this word, and particularly in the US context, I'd say that that makes an awful lot of sense. I think that anyone who is not of that culture, I would even put myself on the fringes of that. I grew up in a very white part of the UK. Obviously, I do have family who are black, and I have many friends who are black as well, but I haven't grown up in that kind of context where people are using that word all the time. If anything, the only times I've really heard it when I was younger is myself singing along to songs and using it. But even I would feel uncomfortable saying it around people, to be completely honest. Like, it just not something I would do. I think that I otherwise would have only used or heard the word, I should say, if people were using it as a slur against me.
Has that happened?
It has happened, yeah. Not when I'm older. Frankly, I'm not the smallest person, so I think people generally think twice about doing that kind of thing. Yeah. I'm privileged in that sense. But I think when I was younger, even from the age of... The first time I can remember was when I was like maybe 8 or 9. Happened again when I was 11. And it always caused like a big issue. Like the school thankfully did like act upon it. So they made clear.
And it was said in malice, like when this happened to you, people were saying it with malice intended, or.
At that age, it's not really malice. People just, it's kids. Yeah. They just repeat what they've watched in a film or in a TV series at that age. This is a long time ago now. So when these things were more, I suppose they were done more. It's definitely done in malice, though. It's not done to make you feel good.
No.
It's done to essentially bully you in some way, to belittle you, to make you feel like you're inferior.
Yeah.
And they're superior. That's the intent behind it.
Would you be able to explain like the historical significance behind that word specifically, or racial slurs in general? Because I feel like what I was saying to Jaya before is, I know never to sing that word and never to say that word, obviously, but there's so many people who happily sing it and will happily even say it probably. And why is it so bad? Because we know it's a bad word in the past, but it's our white privilege speaking when we're like, oh, well, we know it's bad, just don't say it, you know, but we don't truly know the pain and we'll never feel the pain. But how would you describe it? How was it used in a bad way?
I think when you talk about the pain, like I feel this is why I don't say it myself, because I feel like from what I know, I could never come close to the pain that people within that period of time who were hearing that word for the first time, but that's continued over hundreds of years, the pain they would have been going through. The kind of books I've read are more like The Black Jacobins from like C.L.R. James, so he's from Trinidad, and he talks about the Haitian Revolution, but the pre-Haitian Revolution, there was the French Revolution as well, and how the two interrelate to one another, but more the horrific things he talks about that were actually happening on Haiti and Domingo Island, San Domingo, I should say. People being like lit up with gunpowder and just blown up, or obviously people being whipped all the time. Ultimately, generations and generations of people just subject to being enslaved. I actually found out from my university studies, I went to UCL, so where they have a archive of all of the people who essentially continue to benefit from slavery until 7 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, that was when the government kind of stopped that happening. But from, I think it was like 18...
So how do you mean? What do you mean?
So from about 1837 or so,
I
would need to check the exact date, but from around that period of time when they officially abolished slavery, the only reason they could actually justify doing it to the general population was by compensating the people who had lost their property. So what this archive actually logs is what did the people own, in terms, essentially who of my ancestors were enslaved by which people, and therefore how much money would they be getting as compensation. And that's from taxpayers, you, everyone, Lloyd, everyone.
Yeah.
Continue to contribute money towards that. And this is an example of institutional racism, which continues very strongly today.
That's what I was talking about. In is it the Bank of England? There's like a exhibition now because black people in that kind of time were transactional. So it was like, if you have a debt, let me pay you with this black person. Like people, and I want to make the viewers feel uncomfortable, because sometimes when you're on that cusp of feeling uncomfortable, that's when you're educated and that's when you learn and that's when you change. If we dilly-dally around things and we're like, oh, it's bad, all of this, then people, they're still going to use it. But I want to use this thing to tell people the raw kind of, as comfortable as you feel to do that, obviously, to feel that raw kind of emotion, or put, like, put them in a situation that would have gone on. So yeah, imagine in a bank, you say, oh, I can't afford this, but you can have this black slave. That's just disgusting.
Yeah, I think the UK were very disjointed from slavery. It's not like how it happened in the US context, and even the Caribbean to some extent, but in the UK, everyone was always very far away from what was happening.
Because
like, in my case, my family were in Barbados. The people who owned those enslaved people, David Paris, the elder, is the person on the archive from, I think, 1804. But obviously, there were many people after him as well until slavery was abolished. And yeah, they would maybe never have even met them. Like, ultimately, there were people on the island who managed the situation, generally in quite bad conditions.
I just can't envision it. I can't. I'll bleep my name out. But I just can't envision it myself. Like, I don't, I can, like, I can read and read and read, but how would it work? Was there kidnaps and things? Like, how did that come about?
So from like 1630s was when they started taking people from the Bight of Biafra, it's called. Or the Bight of Benin, it's kind of the west coast of Africa. And that's when they started taking people from their homes, their families, their ancestral land, over what was called the Middle Passage.
Yeah.
And started taking them to Barbados and many other places. I think there are only like 200 people out of 6,000 on the island of Barbados around that time that would have been enslaved people. Within 30 years, I think that had grown to either like 20,000, 30,000 people. So you imagine how many boats of people are coming back and forth, and all they're doing is just taking people. Imagine if it's like your sister or your mum or your dad, and they're just taking them away. You have no idea what's happened to them. You'll never see them again. But then the cruel part is actually knowing like what happens on these islands over those periods of time. Like, I'm sure more people watching this would have seen like 12 Years a Slave, or
Emancipation.
Yeah, Emancipation or 13th, to get some guidance to what happens now, but also what happens in the past. Yeah, I think you have to really read things though, because quite often there's just things that are too horrific to actually put on screen.
Yeah.
So 12 Years a Slave is extremely horrific. Yeah. But I think, if you read books that are actually talking from the enslaved people's perspectives, like C.L.R. James does really masterfully. I think he was one of the first. This was over 100 years ago, probably. He's written this book, and it kind of still stands the test of time now. Like, it's all proven. What's this is called? History. It's called The Black Jacobins. I may not pronounce it right. Could be Jacobins, perhaps. It's basically, Jacobins was like, it's like a political person in that period of time, around like 1800 or so. They're people that make decisions. And the kind of story is this guy, like Dessalines, but also Toussaint. Mm. He was the person who led Haiti through these horrific times to the point where they just decided, we're not taking this from the French colonies.
Was there any consequences anymore for these leaders?
Yeah, I mean, Toussaint, he, in my opinion, he did the most over that period of time from what I've read. He was killed, unfortunately, just before they got independence. He went through a lot, I think, from what I've read. He was shot many, many times over that period of time and managed to survive. So he was sometimes associated with the Maroons, who would, same in Barbados and Jamaica, they would stay out in the jungle. So it'd be very difficult for people to actually find them. It's like guerrilla warfare nowadays.
Yeah.
And but equally, they had to do horrific things to overcome what happened, because they were slaughtered. Like it wouldn't be like you make a mistake then, or you try and rebel.
Yeah.
You'll just all be killed, or your family would be. Like, I actually don't even want to talk about it, but yeah,
no.
Horrific things would happen. But yeah, I know that from this David Paris, the elder, there were 201 enslaved people that were his property at the time that he was continuing to get compensated for, his descendants today. And this is where like the thing about privilege comes in, where like people don't appreciate how much they have benefited from enslaved people over many, many generations, like hundreds and hundreds of years. And that's the tough thing that you have to communicate when people use this word. That's unfortunately what they won't realize, because in your case, right, it's accidental.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it. From my perspective, what I've seen is you've grown up like singing the song, like I would sing the song. And then you've learned not to voice that word, because that's like the rule, right? Yeah. That you don't do that. And I think it's just a really different context that, right, there are cameras watching you do that. It's a strange thing. And I think that's probably why there's no kind of consensus on whether it's right or wrong. And that's why people come with their opinions. Obviously, it's not right.
Yeah, there is a question. Why is there a debate over who can and cannot use the slurs, particularly in songs or other forms of media?
I think it's because it's a cultural thing. Like as I said, I haven't grown up in like in the US. It's very very segregated in the US. So you might find like you might find yourself in a black community and you might rarely see a white person.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, it's the complete opposite.
Mm.
So people are not going to have reclaimed that word.
Yeah.
Where I am in the south of the UK.
Like from your opinion, do you think it should be glorified in certain songs?
I think it's an artist's right to use it, particularly when they know the context, which, I mean, all of the names you've just mentioned, for sure.
Yeah.
They know the context probably far better than I ever will with the songs that I've listened to from theirs. So, yes, I think it is right for them to put it in songs.
Mm.
It's more on the people listening to respect that they shouldn't be saying it themselves, and maybe to learn more about there's generally people use that word sparingly in songs, not always, but generally they use it sparingly for impact.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion though. And I'm definitely not a musical expert in any way, shape or form. Yeah, I don't think of
that. You're definitely a musical expert.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Right, let's sip our drinks before we both cry.
Yeah.
What kind of resources would you recommend to people who are willing to educate themselves?
Depends what kind of media they like consuming and learning from. I think that would be the first question to ask.
Okay, a book.
A book?
What would be the number one book you'd recommend?
In this context, I think it would be... There was one I recommended to you, but it doesn't stick out. I mean, it's quite it's quite a, no one would have really heard of it, so I probably wouldn't recommend that. I'd probably say, yeah, maybe Black and British by David Olusoga.
I was reading about him. He's a documentary person as well, isn't he?
Yeah, historian. He might even be a professor now. Yeah. Somewhere in the Midlands, I believe. But yeah, he's amazing.
What about online resource?
Online resource. Maybe I Am Not Your Negro by James Baldwin.
That's what I was watching the trailer for on YouTube. Mm. It's a reading of a book, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, and is Samuel Jackson is narrating
it?
Yeah,
he is. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I was watching the other day. And like, truthfully, like, listening to things like that, it's really uncomfortable. It is really, really uncomfortable listening to things like that. So I, because it doesn't seem real, because like, it's something I'll never feel. So when I was watching that, I was literally like, what the fuck? But what I was saying before is, what I did was an awful accident, but it's also a blessing in disguise, because it's opened me up to educating and like, for actually knowing things. Because you can say, oh yeah, I'm educated because I have black people around me all the time, but you never truly be fully educated, and no one will. But I think if we're all taking bits and pieces and we all come together and teach each other, then we're going to have a much more inclusive kind of community.
There are so many resources, like Blinkist is a good example. It's for audiobook summaries, like 15 minutes long. That would be a good resource. There's many books like Natives, Black and British, Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race.
Did a woman write that?
Yes. Reed Lodge.
Yes.
I believe.
Yeah, I was reading about that.
I'm pretty sure there's an Afua Hirsch book on there.
But is that book like a play on words?
Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race. It kind of came from her. Initially, she was educating people, and then she kind of was fed up with it, and she wrote like an online post, I think, about it.
Yeah.
And then she kind of made a book out of that, because that process of her saying, fuck this, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, this is my emotional energy. This is my physical energy. This is my time. Yeah. That was the point she was trying to make with the story, and it's obviously quite a provocative title for that reason.
That's a good title.
It is a great title.
It makes people feel like, oh, why can't you tell me? And then they'll want to read it.
Yeah, and it's got very, very good points in it, and I do agree with it. Like, I've can't go into too much detail, but I've recently decided not to support my company's efforts towards anti-racism because I just don't think they're very genuine.
Yeah, it's more for show.
Yeah, there's a thing called diversity tax, which people in the inclusion and diversity space would know about, which is essentially people who are diverse, as in they have a protected characteristic, are relied upon for their resources to do things for companies. And all that means is that they have less time to focus on their actual job, which all that does is make their life more stressful.
Yeah.
But more than anything, say if they're in a commercial role, if you have 20% less time, you have 20% less time to make money.
Yeah.
So actually, it actually taxes your money as well. Coming back to the question you asked earlier about, can people be using the N-word in songs? I think with many genres that say like grime, I was more associated with back in the day, but drill now, it's very heavily policed. And that's not a good thing. I mean, you talk about like freedom of speech. That's not fair, ultimately. Yeah. And that again comes from like a systemic racism.
That's true.
Associating crime with a certain genre of music.
Yeah, so the songs are policed to try and basically catch out someone who's committing a crime, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no freedom of speech there. So there's still that injustice of... Fuck.
It's just stereotypes. Yeah. It's stereotyping that because someone is using a metaphor about what kind of stereotype someone would expect, obviously to kind of probably more than anything actually to get white viewers to watch it, they are then subject to people, police sometimes, but also just people in general, like cancelling them in a way, because they're then associated with violence, which violence is obviously not good.
This afternoon's been really beneficial because, like, I'm hearing and understanding different point of views and perspectives. And I've always, I think, after doing this, I've always been quite enclosed and just like, oh, I don't need educating. I'm fine. Like, I'm, you know, but this, I'm just so grateful to you for coming on and just being able to just, I could just listen to you for hours. You know, I could. But I'm really, really grateful. And I hope any white viewers watching or anyone that tried to support me by saying it's just a song, listen to the story of Jaya and our guest here and can learn with me and grow with me and know that that word will never be okay to mime, to sing, to say. Even if one person here is listening and it's changed their perspective, then we've done the right thing here. Any of the black community watching, I am sorry again, and I hope that you've watched this as well and you can accept that we're all willing to change and learn. And we hope that you have really enjoyed this episode. Lots of love.
Big love.